Hosea chapter 9. Don't rejoice in jubilation, Israel, like the other nations, for you were unfaithful to your God. You love the wages of a prostitute at every grain threshing floor. Well, again, this is alluding back to the feelings that Hosea had for Gomer, the wife whom he so loved, who was a prostitute, who actually loved being a prostitute. And he says that you love the wages of a prostitute at every grain threshing floor. Well, the idols that they served, the Baals, were all fertility gods, and they thought that they should worship those idols when they had a harvest, or when they were threshing their harvest out. And so this is how we can be, that we can go off to idols thinking that, if I give all my energy to this career, to getting these exams, to saving money in this way, or this clever investment and researching this, that and the other, then I shall be wealthy. You've got to be very careful that that is not, in fact, loving the wages of a prostitute at every grain threshing floor, thinking that your good harvest comes from your idols, when good harvests came from God's blessing for their obedience to the covenant. The threshing floor and the winepress won't feed them, and the new wine will fail her. So you see there that God is saying that, no, actually all your best efforts and all your prostitution to try to get more wealth, to try to get bigger harvests, it won't work out. They won't dwell in Yahweh's land, but Ephraim will return to Egypt and they will eat unclean food in Assyria. Well, in another place, God says they will not return to Egypt. And you see there God's passionate feelings, that he wants to judge them, like Hosea wanted to judge Gomer, give her the death penalty for her adultery, but then his love for them makes him patient. He loves them, he wants to judge them, because he's so angry and hurt by how they've behaved, but his love triumphs in the end. They won't pour out wine offerings to Yahweh, neither will they be pleasing to him. Their sacrifices will be to them like the bread of mourners. All who eat of it will be polluted. Their bread will merely be for their hunger. It will not come with acceptance as an offering into the house of Yahweh. What will you do in the day of solemn assembly and in the day of the feast of Yahweh? For behold, they have marched off to destruction. Egypt will gather them up. Memphis will bury them. Well, they carried on offering sacrifices to God, but God says, I will not accept it. It's rather like Gomer claiming to be the faithful, loving wife of Hosea when she was committing adultery with other men. And we can carry on with the appearance of devotion to God when actually we are very far away from him. So this is the danger of religion, especially if we've been brought up in it or been in it for any length of time, that there's a sort of a cycle of going to meetings, of going to church, of praying, singing hymns and so forth. And you can do all that, and yet your heart can actually be with your idols, with your lovers. The days of visitation have come, the days of reckoning have come. Israel will consider the prophet to be a fool and the inspired man to be insane because of the abundance of your sins. A prophet watches over Ephraim with my God. A fowler's snare is on all of his paths and hostility in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish them for their sins. Well, Gomer seems to have thought that Hosea, yeah, he kind of noticed my sins, but yeah, he sort of forgot them. Yeah, I can get away with it. And God keeps saying to Israel, I remember all your sins. He doesn't have a memory that fades like we do, or that selectively chooses to delete certain memories. He doesn't do that. He remembers all their unfaithfulness. He understands every aspect and dimension of their sin. And just as Hosea was not a fool and was not ignorant and knew what was going on with Gomer, so God does with his people, and so he does with us. Don't think that God doesn't notice, even if he says nothing. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at its first season. He's talking about how when they first came up out of Egypt, he, as it were, fell in love with them at Sinai, as we read in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Just as Hosea remembered how he had dated and courted with Gomer, and she'd promised to be faithful to him, but just as Israel still had the idols of Egypt with them, when they came up out of Egypt, and they carried the tabernacle of Remphan through the wilderness, as well as that of Yahweh, so, he says, absolutely the same, that you were really not faithful to me, but I saw you as beautiful. I was in love with you. So he says, I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree, but they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the shameful thing and became abominable like that thing which they so loved. You become like that which you love. They became abominable like that thing which they so loved. And we become like that which we worship. If you love the sort of luxury life, the sort of plastic veneer, the worldly razzmatazz, the bling, well, you'll become as empty as all that. But if we love God, and this is what it comes down to, do you love God? If you love Him, despite being imperfect and still sinning and failing, if you love God and if you love Jesus, you will become like Him. It's as simple as that. As for Ephraim, their glory will fly away like a bird. There will be no birth, none with child, and no conception. Though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them so that not a man shall be left. Woe also to them when I depart from them. I've seen Ephraim like Tyre, planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim will bring out his children to the murderer. Give them, Yahweh, what will you give them? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Well, this again is going back to Hosea's attitude to Gomer, that he was wishing on her that she would no longer be able to have children because she was getting pregnant by other men apart from him. And he wished, I think, on her in his anger, in his moments of anger, that she would become barren and not able to have more children. And that is how God felt about his people. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, that's their sort of center for idol worship. For there I hated them. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. And yet, elsewhere in Hosea, you read, I will love them freely. I love them. Here, I hated them. So again, you see how God's feelings, like those of Hosea to Gomer, go up and down. He loves them, and yet because he loves them and they abused that love and were unfaithful, he therefore hated them, and yet he loves them. So God is not a God afar off. He's not just occasionally looking down here on earth, seeing how things are going, and thinks, well, yeah, okay, the day of judgment, I'll sort it all out with those guys down there. He has these passionate feelings of love and of hate and of disappointment. And yet, when we please him, just think, you can touch the very heart of God. My God will cast them away because they did not listen to him, and they will be wanderers among the nations. Well, yes, that is true. And yet, God also regathered them from there and wanted to regather them. Just as Hosea wanted to cast off Gomer, so that she wandered, and yet he also wanted and dreamed and fantasized about her return to him.